Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. So tonight we are reading from Srimad Bhagavad Gita, chapter number 5, text number 22. Yehi samsprishya ja bhoga dukkha yonaya evate ajyanta banta konteya natteshu ramate buddha. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. An intelligent person does not take part in the sources of misery, which are due to contact with the material senses. O son of Kunti, such pleasures have a beginning and an end, and so the wise man does not delight in them. Material sense pleasures are due to the contact of the material senses, which are all temporary because the body itself is temporary. A liberated soul is not interested in anything which is temporary. Knowing well the joy is a transcendental pleasure, how can a liberated soul agree to enjoy false pleasure? In the Padma Purana it is said, Ramante yogino nante satyanande chiratmani iti rama pade naso param brahma vidhiyate. The mystics derive unlimited transcendental pleasures from the Absolute Truth, and therefore the Supreme Absolute Truth, the Personality of Godhead, is also known as Rama. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, also 551, it is said, Nayang deho deha bhujang naloke kashtan kaman arhate vid bhujang ye tapo divyam putra kayena satyam shuryatas yasmad brahma sakyam tvanantam. My dear sons, there is no reason to labor very hard for sense pleasure, which, while in this human form of life, such pleasures are available to the stool eaters, hogs. Rather, you should undergo penances in this life by which your existence will be purified, and as a result, you will be able to enjoy unlimited transcendental bliss. Therefore, those who are true yogis or learned transcendentalists are not attracted by sense pleasures, which are the causes of continuous material existence. The more one is addicted to material pleasures, the more he is entrapped by material miseries. Om Agyanatim Anandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Nama. So carefully note the very last thing that Prabhupada said at the end of this purport. This one piece of information will save you so much unnecessary suffering. Again, Prabhupada says, the more one is addicted to material pleasures, the more he is entrapped by material miseries. So every time we go for some material pleasure, you know what we're doing? We're setting ourselves up for material misery. For example, I may overeat prasadam. Prasadam is transcendental, but if you eat too much, it becomes mundane. Instead of being, if you eat too much prasadam, you become miserable. That's the fact. You get sick, or you get all spaced out. So the point is that we should not go after any sort of material pleasure, even in the name of prasadam. We should go after what is pleasing to Krishna. This is the secret of success for the great transcendentalists. Instead of trying to be the primary enjoyers, they intelligently take the position of secondary enjoyer. You see, a devotee doesn't give up being the enjoyer. Devotee simply means he or she is very, very expert at the art of enjoyment. He doesn't give up enjoyment to suffer. No. If that was the case, who would join this movement? You see? If we join this movement to suffer? No. The transcendentalist knows the art of expanding his own happiness exponentially by always thinking, how can I please the Lord? Always speaking in such a way that the Lord is pleased, and always acting in such a way that the Lord is pleased. So how do we know when the Lord is pleased? Well, we have to please the spiritual master. I remember this is a question I had when I joined the movement, because Prabhupada, I was in a small preaching center way out in Texas. And Prabhupada was, you know, he would come to New York and he would come to California. You know, we weren't on the circuit at the time, the Prabhupada circuit. He sometimes came to Dallas also, actually, later on. It's the closest he came to Austin. Actually, one time he wrote me a letter and said he was willing to come to Austin if we would make all arrangements, but our temple president was scared to invite Prabhupada. So we didn't invite him, but He offered to come to Austin. But anyway, I was wondering, since my advancement is based on pleasing the spiritual master, how can I do that? I was thinking, how will I please my spiritual master? But then I remembered, what did we sing every morning in the Gravastakam? Chaturvidha Shri Bhagavat Prasada Svadana Triptan Hari Bhakta Sangham. That the spiritual master is pleased when he sees the devotees taking Bhagavat Prasad. So I've been thinking, yes, I can handle this movement. If I can, just by taking prasadam, I can please the spiritual master and thus make spiritual advancement, then I think I can handle this Krishna consciousness movement. Take prasadam, yes, like that I can do. I may not be able to do anything else, but I know I can take prasadam. That much I know I can do. So I can make it in the Krishna consciousness movement. Of course, that's not the only thing. Not that I simply sit and take prasadam 24 hours a day to please my spiritual master. No, we have to chant also. Vishnu John Maharaj that one time asked Prabhupada, he said, Prabhupada, if somebody just wants to take prasadam all day, is that all right? Prabhupada said, as long as they chant Hare Krishna between each bite. So, Prabhupada is very kind. You come, you chant Hare Krishna, you take prasadam, you do some service. This is our Krishna consciousness movement. Whatever your position is in the society, take prasadam, chant Hare Krishna, and render service. This is our program for transcendental happiness. And if one is tasting this transcendental happiness, then who would be interested to take up the sources of misery once again? Param drishva nivartate. Once we have the higher taste, who wants a lower taste? If I give you a 100 euro note, you may be very happy. Oh, 100 euros. I can do something with it. I say, okay, now, give it back. Ah. You may want to show that you're detached by giving it back, but you're going, oh. I had planned for what I'm going to do with that 100 euros. What if I give you, say, here, I will give you 1 million euros in exchange for that 100 euros. Will you have any difficulty? Will you hesitate to give me the 100 euros back? No. 1 million euros. Now you could retire immediately, huh? Not have to go to work anymore with 1 million euros. Isn't it? Yeah. If I gave you 1 million euros, you see. So, our material happiness, it is 100 euros. And Krishna consciousness is 1 trillion euros. That's a rough example. I mean, it's much more valuable than that. It's just a rough example, crude analogy. But the point is, if you have the happiness of Krishna consciousness, you don't want anything else. I'll give you an example. There was one householder couple. They wanted to have a child. So in our Krishna consciousness process, they take the blessings of the spiritual master, the Guru Maharaj. We'd like to have a child. If we have your permission, he says, yes, you may try to have a child, like this. So then they're chanting on the most fertile day of the month for the lady. Then they chant 50 rounds of japa. And then after finish, husband and wife both chant 50 rounds, and they try to have a child. So the husband and wife both chanted 50 rounds, and they were so high on the mantra, they said, let's wait till next month. They didn't want to come down to the bodily platform, even though it was a Krishna conscious activity, trying to, you know, bring a child into the world to make him a devotee. They were thinking, well, you know, it's the body after all. Who wants to come down from the spiritual platform? I mean, this mantra, we're just flying high on the mantra. They said, no way, next month, next month. So, this is the great pleasure of Krishna consciousness, you see. That even one can walk away from authorized spiritual pleasure of begetting a child and say, no, actually, I don't even want to do that. Let me just stay immersed in the mantra, you see. Because this mantra is incredible. Can you imagine having a personal meeting with God? Directly meeting with God? You see? The Hare Krishna mantra is your path for a private meeting with the Supreme Lord. A free pass. Here's your ticket for a private meeting with God. Take this ticket now. You can go meet with God. Have your own private meeting with the Supreme Lord. You see? Just take this ticket, now you can personally meet with God. And all your problems will be solved. If you take full advantage of that face-to-face meeting with the Lord, it's as good as face-to-face. You're saying, well, I'm not seeing him yet, and I see him as a deity, but I don't see him yet. But no, actually hearing is as good as seeing. And actually hearing is even better than seeing. Because our eyes can more easily deceive us. But by hearing the truth from the mouth of the spiritual master, by hearing the truth from the Vedic wisdom, then we can see things very clearly. This is called Shastra Chakshus. One who sees through the eyes of the scripture. You see? Actually, we use the word seeing in a different way. Not only for the eyes. I don't know about German language, but in English, someone may say, well, that ice cream looks pretty good. Let's see how it tastes. You see? Seeing, they will see how good that ice cream tastes by tasting it. They will see through the tongue. Or someone hands you a CD and say, let's see what it sounds like. So you see by the ears. or someone brings a soft rug and say, this is the softest rug that's ever been woven in the history of the universe. You say, well, let's see what it feels like. You see with your sense of touch. So seeing does not only mean with the eyes. In English, I don't know about German language. It does not only mean with the eyes. It means with any of the senses. To see means to perceive, to experience. So who can say we are not seeing God when we chant Hare Krishna? We are seeing God. We are perceiving the Lord through the medium of transcendental sound vibration. And once you have that pleasure, then what do the pleasures of this material world amount to in comparison? Bhagavatam says, hitucham. They are indeed insignificant. Who needs them? I don't want to be bothered by these so-called pleasures of material existence, which simply, as Prabhupada points out, entrap me in more miseries. The more I try to enjoy matter, the more I must suffer. So instead of trying to enjoy matter, I should simply become the servant of God and the servants of the servants of the servants of God. Even the spiritual master does not think he is the master. Prabhupada told us in Vrindavan, the spiritual master considers that Krishna has sent me so many spiritual masters, you see, that I have to serve them, I have to deliver them. He never thinks, I am the master. I am the master, and these are all my servants. No. He thinks, I am their servant. They are my masters, and I have to, my service is to make sure that they don't take birth again in this material world. Whatever it takes, I have to do that service for them, to make sure they never take birth again. So the more we enter into this sublime service mood, the more we relish the nectar. It's difficult because in this material world we associate service with suffering. Generally. You know, we get a job and we have to, you know, go do service for the... It's not really service because we're getting money, but, you know, government service. The idea of service, you know, being drafted into the army, you have to do government service. You know, services are like this in America. I don't know if they call it here. In America, they call it the service industry, you know, people who do the service. It's considered a low-class thing, a low-paid... the low-paid grunt workers in the service industry. You know, it's considered like low class, lower paid for people who are less educated. Service is not highly valued. In the material world, the more you can become, and the more you can successfully lord it over other people and make them your servant, that's considered advancement. But in Krishna consciousness, it is just the opposite. And the more we become the servant, the more we advance. That's the real enjoyment. So, we're very happy to have had this brief, all too brief opportunity to be here, to try to somehow be of service to you all in your spiritual progress. We'll be giving one more lecture tomorrow morning, but and then we'll be going on. We'll be coming back in the fall again on our way to India. So we're very, very happy that we've had some, you've allowed us some opportunity to be of service to you. And I can ask if there's any questions now. Anyone has questions?
I don't know how to say it. Could you translate it, please? When someone fall down, and it's like habit, and it's possible that Krishna vždycky dá milost, a ale že prostě jednou přestane a teď už ti milost dávat nebudu.
Is it possible that Krishna will always give mercy, or it happens that once Krishna stops and he said, okay, I will not give you.
Krishna will give unlimited mercy, but if we take unfair advantage of that mercy, then we cut ourselves off from his mercy. Krishna will never stop giving us mercy. That's a fact. Krishna is unlimitedly merciful because, after all, we're his children. He wants us back more than we want to go back. But we can, if we take unfair advantage of his mercy, then we can cut ourselves off by our own foolishness, our own pride. Just like, what is the eighth offense against the Holy Name? To commit sins on the strength of chanting. I'm thinking, well, Krishna is very merciful. You know, I fell down last night. I did something really bad. I broke the principles. But, you know, Krishna is really kind. And I'll chant some extra rounds today to make up for it. And he'll accept me. But if I go on doing that day after day, Prabhupada personally told me, he said, Krishna can excuse you once or twice. But more than that, you're risking the complete destruction of your spiritual life. So it's not that Krishna will cut us off. But if we develop a cheating mentality of trying to take unfair advantage of Krishna's mercy, then we will cut ourselves off from his mercy. So we should be very, very careful to never abuse the mercy of Krishna. To always feel very, very, very grateful that Krishna is so kind to me. Actually, I'm so fallen, I don't deserve to even be in this movement. But somehow, devotees are so kind, they allow me to be here. This humble move, is it? Each and every one of us should feel that I'm just a mercy case, you know. I have no qualification to be here. But the devotees are so kind. They're the manifestations of Krishna's mercy that they've allowed me to remain here in spite of my so much fallen nature, you see. In this way, if we always feel grateful for the mercy of Krishna as it's manifested through the spiritual master, as it's manifested through the devotees, then you become very strong in Krishna consciousness. Maya will never be able to touch you. Never be able to touch you. But never try to cheat on the mercy of Krishna. Well, Krishna is really kind. We've heard this mentality at our preaching center in Austin. The one man, he was habitually coming late to the programs. You know, every Sunday he'd always show up late. Just, you know, that was his schedule. He had no reason, but you know, he just wanted to show that, you know, I'm great because I can come late. So Mataji is always good at pointing out people's faults. So she pointed out, you know, what is this, you're always coming late? He said, well, Krishna is my father, he understands. He understands, you know. So that's a ridiculous thing. He's intentionally coming late for the arti every single Sunday on the plea that, well, Krishna is my father and he's very merciful, so he won't mind. When someone goes to the office for their job, they will be on time every morning, isn't it? For their job, they will be very punctual. But for Krishna, I can be late because he's my father and he understands. You see what kind of cheating mentality? For my own sense gratification, making money, yes, I'll be very punctual. But for Krishna's service, no. I don't need to be so punctual. So, we should not develop that mood that, well, Krishna understands. You know, he'll accept me anyway because he's my loving father. If I fall down, well, you know, he understands. I'm weak and this and that. Such a mentality of intentionally taking advantage of Krishna's kindness and sinning violating the principles it's like stabbing a knife into our own heart. So Krishna, as Prabhupada told me, once or twice, yes, you can excuse. But more than that, you can see this person is intentionally doing this. They're not really sincere. So we may slip up from our past bad habits, you know. Most of us were, especially those of us here in Europe and America, I mean, what was our background before we came to this movement? We wouldn't want to tell anyone. Most of us coming out of the Western countries here. Pretty bad. So now that we're here, by Prabhupada's mercy, by Vaishnava's mercy, Krishna's mercy, let us be very, very careful. We don't slip. If we do, we're trying our best and we slip, Krishna's mercy will definitely protect us. But not that I take advantage. All right, Krishna's very kind, so all right. Let me indulge in sense gratification. All right? Questions more?
Yeah. Was bedeutet, wenn ich etwas, wenn Krishna sagt, wenn ich etwas tue für Krishna, dass ich das in Andacht mache? Was bedeutet Andacht?
Was bedeutet Andacht?
Andacht in
English. Somebody will have to amplify it for me in English. Pick it up and then relay it onto me in English. Clear, distinct, loud words.
You have to look in the dictionary about a German word.
What is she saying?
She said that there's one word in German and we don't know how to translate, so we should look in the dictionary.
Oh, you don't know the word? No one knows how to translate it? We don't have. Helen, you don't know?
I'm not sure.
Ah. You must be a big scholar. No one even knows the word. Where's our learned brahmacharis? They're scholars. What is? Do you know the word?
He doesn't know German.
Does anybody understand the gist of her question? Use a different word. Anybody figure out her question? I mean, you all speak German, don't you?
Was bedeutet Andacht? Also es ist nicht dasselbe wie Hingabe. Hingabe steht auch vor Entsagung. Aber ich weiß es nicht.
Anybody, Nandi Mukhi, you understand her question?
This word I also don't
know. Anybody with college training in German? You went to college, Helen? Try to explain it to Helen. All right.
If she does something for Krishna, she has to do it as a contemplation, maybe? To meditate on Krishna and to... And what does it mean? She wants to just to know the meaning of the word. She doesn't have to do it.
Well, look it up in the dictionary and ask it in class tomorrow. Any other questions? Yeah.
We find a statement that to control senses means to eat only prasada.
Yes, that's true.
But quantities of overeating is not mentioned.
Yes.
Just what Ross says is the person.
Yes, yes. There's different levels of sense control. The first level is only to take bishadam and then take as much as make as much duck as much as you want until you waddle like a duck. That's the first level of sense control. Sense control 101. You see? Then you get to sense control 201 and then you only take what is necessary to keep body and soul together. There's different levels of advancing along the pathway of sense control. In the beginning, yes, take only prasadam, take as much as you want. In fact, in the old days, at 26 Second Avenue, Prabhupada kept a jar of glob jamuns there. If you got into Maya, you would just go take a glob jamun. If you ever felt like you're in Maya, you just go take a glob jamun. I'm in Maya. Devotees must have been in Maya quite a lot then, so they could have a glob jamun. But then, you know, so there's different levels of advance. In the beginning, yes, take prasadam as much as you want. And then gradually, you think, well, maybe I should think about feeding the deities who are giving me this prasadam. I can volunteer for service in the kitchen. I can cut vegetables. I can wash dishes. I can become a Brahmin and cook for the deities. Since they're giving me this prasadam, I can reciprocate love with them. So in this way you expand. I can distribute prasadam to others. So in this way you can expand. Is that all right?
But if you read only this particular verse and nothing else.
If you read only that particular verse?
Yeah.
What is that verse? Or that statement you mean? Yeah, one should read Prabhupada's books in toto, not just, you know, take one little statement that you like and neglect the rest of the book. Prabhupada said, all of my followers have to read all of my books, or they will fall down. So you have to thoroughly study all of Prabhupada's books. Brahmacharya especially is meant for them. You see? You're not changing diapers or anything like that. You should be reading the books, study all the books thoroughly. So you can give very potent classes. You see? So everyone, whether we're a householder, whether we're brahmachari, man and woman, everyone should study these books as far as possible so that we can preach to each other, we can preach to our own mind, we can preach to outsiders, we can preach to the whole world. We have to know this philosophy expertly. Not simply on the introductory level, but we have to know it on the advanced level also, by ourselves becoming advanced. This movement is meant to create pure devotees. Is it? Pure devotees. Not just a bunch of neophytes sitting around the temple eating themselves sick, overeating prasadam. We are meant to become advanced devotees. Sense-controlled yogis. Vacha-vegam, manasa-krodha-vegam, jiva-vegam, udaro. Vegam, jivan, etan-vitan-yo-vishahet-de-ras, sarvam-vipayapimam, triti-vim-shishishya. One should control the mind, words, anger, tongue, belly, and genitals, and in this way one is qualified to spread this Krishna consciousness movement everywhere. So we should become like them. Yes, that is sense control. Take only prasad. And then gradually you will want to take just what you need to energize your service as you advance. That'll be natural. Prabhupada said, if my disciples want more prasadam, I am the spiritual master. It is my duty to provide it. So take to your full satisfaction. No one, not that we're going to come along and say you're taking one too many chickpeas on your plate, Prabhu, and grab it away. I remember when we were traveling some kirtan years ago, we went to one temple, And the breakfast was like 7 chickpeas and 1 piece of orange and 1 little slice of apple, and that was the whole, and maybe a little dab of cereal about that big on a piece of wax paper. And I went, wow. So we're not, our movement is not like that. Take Vishadam to your full satisfaction. Prabhupada used to offer, take more, take more, take more. That Strayadisha used to eat 20 chapatis. 20 chapatis he would take. Prabhupada would encourage him. 20 chapatis, can you imagine 20 chapatis? So, yes, take prasad. But gradually as one takes prasad, and one will think, well, how can I increase my service? Maybe if I eat less, and it gets to a point where you think, well, I'm eating so much and it just makes me groggy, and maybe I'd be more happy to, you know, to balance my program out a little bit, eat a little bit less so I'm more clear-headed and more energized for my service. Any other questions? Yes.
In this material world, how can one become free from
free from
one is afraid of some
free of fear?
Free from fear.
How one can become free from fear?
Fear and doubt.
And doubt?
Mm-hmm.
Well, this was Arjuna's desire when he addressed Krishna as Madhusudana. Krishna is known as the killer of the Madhu demon. So Arjuna is feeling that I have so many doubts and these are like demons. I'm being haunted by these demons. So Krishna, you are Madhusudana, you are a demon killer. So you kill these demons of doubt. If we have doubtfulness, then we should inquire from the spiritual master. We should inquire from senior devotees. We should reveal our doubts to them, just as Arjuna revealed his doubts to Krishna. We should reveal our doubts to advanced devotees so that they can destroy those demons of doubt which are haunting our mind. Our philosophy is not blind following. If we are doubtful about something, we should inquire. I was taught when, and I joined this movement, that one should inquire until one's intelligence is fully satisfied. There should be no doubt at all in one's mind about Krishna consciousness, about any of the teachings that are given in these books. There should be no doubts about any of it. And if you have doubt, then you find a devotee, qualified devotee, and you inquire, this is my doubt. Kindly help me to understand properly. Questions more? Do any of you have doubts? Do you have any doubts? No doubt? Anybody have doubts? You're doubtful.
I have
doubts
about it.
Huh?
But sometimes we have hidden doubts.
Hidden
doubts. We are not conscious
about. Yeah, sometimes they're lurking down there and you don't know they're in there, and then they come up all of a sudden. Whammo. Yes.
Isn't doubt
a
sign of intelligence?
Type of?
Sign of intelligence.
Of intelligence egotism?
Is working.
Hmm?
Intelligence is working.
Yes. Doubts are a sign of intelligence. So doubts, to have a doubting brain isn't bad if you utilize it properly. I know when I joined this movement, I was very doubtful because I was brand new and I was hearing so many things in the classes. And I was wondering, is this what Prabhupada said or not? Is this devotee concocting something? Or is he purely presenting what Prabhupada has taught? So I was very doubtful every time I heard a class. Unless I saw it was confirmed in Prabhupada's books, I would never accept anything. I was very hardcore doubter of everything I heard in the classes. But I was reading also. I was reading as much as possible because I wanted to know exactly what Prabhupada had taught. I knew that Prabhupada, I became convinced that Prabhupada was, you know, a fully realized pure devotee of the Lord. And I didn't have any doubt in Prabhupada, but I was wondering if the other devotees were properly presenting Prabhupada. And then Prabhupada even confirmed my doubt. In one letter he wrote, he said that the British were very good at making propaganda, negative propaganda. And he said, in our ISKCON, there are so many false things. Prabhupada said this and Prabhupada said that. So many false things, that's what Prabhupada said. So, Prabhupada confirmed my tendency to doubt. Prabhupada said, Prabhupada said, Prabhupada said. That used to be the buzzword in the old days when Prabhupada was here. Prabhupada said, Prabhupada said. Prabhupada said only 7 chickpeas. Prabhupada said this, Prabhupada said that. You know. And you go, wow, if I eat 8 chickpeas, I'm in Maya. Because Prabhupada said only 7, you know, there's so many things that are floating around. The rumor mill was pretty intense when Prabhupada was here. Prabhupada said only 7 chickpeas. See, now we have the Veda base. You can go in there and do your own search. It's really nice. We didn't have it then. There was only a few books published. There was no internet. You know, we didn't have the letter books. I mean, it was really, you know, hard to get to always know you're getting the accurate information in the old days. That Prabhupada really said them. And a lot of stuff was distorted, was going around. So I was very doubtful. And it was correct to be doubtful. Prabhupada confirmed that there were false things. So, it's good, and doubtfulness is good if you use it in a Krishna conscious way. It's very good. But if you use it to doubt the teachings of Krishna, then you need help. You need help. You need to correspond with or meet with, you know, a senior devotee who has very deep realizations, who can show you, not hammer you into blind faith, but actually enlighten you with transcendental understanding. So naturally all your doubts will go away based on understanding, not on, you know, well, I have to accept it, otherwise I'm bad. No. That's condemned in Krishna consciousness. But to bring forward all your doubts to, you know, a qualified person who has deep realizations about the science of Krishna, who can actually enlighten you, turn on lights within your heart, you see, who actually knows how to press the buttons in your heart to turn on the light within your heart. And that's very good. That's a very good thing. One may try to suppress doubt, thinking, well, that's bad, I have to suppress it. And that's not intelligent. Intelligent thing is, if doubt is there, then you approach a senior devotee who can, you know, that you have trust in. This person is my well-wisher. This person has genuine realization of the absolute truth. Let me approach this person and reveal my doubts, honestly. Knowing full well, this person is not going to make fun of me. He's not going to, you know, spread rumor and spread, you know, turn around and spread bad word about me. You know, it's someone I can really trust to open my heart to and reveal the doubts. And then hear from him. And have those doubts, you know, like little bubbles just pop one after another. And new lights within your heart. All those dark corners of your heart that weren't illuminated now start to become illuminated more and more. The dark cavern of your heart becomes a brilliantly lit palace. You see. So yes, Prabhupada does say doubting is a sign of intelligence. But then you have to deal with your doubts intelligently, not foolishly. So, yes.
As you said that one should solve the doubts with intelligence, how is it doubts are similar to offenses?
No, not necessarily. I need you here to help me amplify the question. She's wondering if doubts are... We're talking about doubts. We're having an interesting, very interesting discussion about doubts. Are doubts similar to offenses? Not necessarily.
And also, I said thinking in Kali Yuga is not counted as offenses. So how one can relate this doubt?
What is she saying?
Thinking in Kali Yuga is not an offense. And then we have doubts. So
yeah.
We
hear it said that in previous yugas, if you thought something bad, then you got a reaction as if you had done it. It was the previous yugas, it was so heavy like that. If you even thought something bad, you would get the reaction of having done that. In this yuga, just thinking something bad, you do not get the reaction of having done it. However, as pointed out by Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita, while contemplating the objects of the senses, one develops attachment for them. From such attachment, lust develops. From lust, anger arises, you see. So, if I'm thinking something which is not good, and I continue to allow myself to think something which is not good, then it progresses from the thinking stage to the feeling stage, to the willing stage, and the acting stage. Just like someone may think, well, you know, I could enjoy some... Someone thinks, oh, illicit sex. Illicit sex. Then someone, they're thinking about it, oh, illicit sex. And they go, They start feeling like, wow, and they go, well, I like... So it's a matter of, if you think about it, you can start feeling like doing it. And then you can will that I really, you know, I want to do it. And then you do it. So the point is that thinking is the beginning. Thinking about illicit sex, you do not get the reaction of having committed illicit sex. But if you continue to think about it, you will end up doing it and having the reaction for having done it. So it's not that thinking is a safe haven for sense gratification. Well, that's good. I don't get the reaction for thinking, so I can just think about sense gratification all day long. I don't have to worry about it. There's no reaction for thinking. But no. If I'm meditating on sense enjoyment, then what will happen is I'll start to feel like having it, I'll make a decision to do it, and then I will do it. So I have to guard my thoughts. I have to be not only chaste in my activities, chaste in my words, but I also must be chaste and pure in my thoughts. Yes?
Sometimes one has some thought, and then one feels bad about it. How can I think like that? Does this thinking bring reactions?
She's saying, if I have a bad thought, but I feel that it's a bad thought, and I try to get it out, if that thinking is a bad...
If I try to get it out?
Yeah, you get it out of your mind. But you still...
Well, that means you're advancing. It's not possible for a neophyte devotee to have a completely pure mind. Let's face the facts. Prabhupada points out in the Srimad Bhagavatam, as I mentioned in a previous lecture here, the day before or so, that we have been infatuated by money and by sex pleasure for millions of lifetimes. So for us to still feel some enamorment with these things is not surprising. It's not surprising at all. So just to have that, it's understood that there, we have some material desires in our hearts. That's why we've taken this birth. So just like when you come into a hospital, it's understood that you're sick. So ISKCON is a hospital. We're all here because we're sick. So we don't hold it against someone if they have some material desire. Oh, you have a material desire. You know, get out of here. No. We all heal because we have material desires. And Prabhupada is saving us all. He's saving us. So just to have the material desire doesn't mean that you're a demon. It's just that if you are trying to get rid of it. No one will criticize you for being dirty if you're in the shower scrubbing away with the soap and water. No one will criticize if you're in the shower. If you're dirty, but you're in the shower scrubbing. But if you think, oh, I don't need a shower. My cleanliness, my dirtiness is as good as anybody's cleanliness. Then yes, your dirtiness is a disqualification. But if you're in this shower, you know, scrubbing away, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, then your dirtiness is not a disqualification. The fact that you are trying to conquer that dirtiness of your heart means you are a sadhu, you are saintly. Apishet siraracharo bhajate mam ananyabha sadhareva samanchavya samyag vyavasito hisaha. You see, a devotee of the Lord, even if he commits the most abominable action, if he is engaged in devotional service, he is to be, or she is to be considered saintly because he is properly situated in his determination. Doesn't matter if you did the most abominable, wretched sin imaginable. Now don't go out and do that now, taking a license. Okay? But even if you have in the past done something very sinful, now you are here in devotional service trying to free yourself of those that dirt. So you're a sadhu. I worship you as a sadhu. You see? I see you as a sadhu, worshipful sadhu. So I feel you're a sadhu. I see you as a sadhu, a worshipful sadhu. Great saintly devotee of the Lord. Because you're engaged in devotional service, it doesn't matter what your disqualification is that required you to take a material body. What sinfulness you had that required you to take a material body. That doesn't matter now. Now what matters is you are engaged, sincerely engaged in Krishna consciousness process. So you're a saint.
So, another question would be that while engaged in the service of the Lord, one commits abominable actions and continually and thinking that I'm well engaged in the devotional service, so it's all right.
Yes. If I'm thinking, well, I'm a devotee, so it's you know, I'm engaged in devotional service, so it's okay if I'm, you know, committing Vaishnava aparads right and left from morning till evening, then there's no harm because after all, I'm a devotee. No. See, that is called Hati Mata, the mad elephant.
That's one.
If you make...
That's offenses to us, the devotees, but
yeah.
Oneself, one may be breaking any principles and things like that, total, I'm talking about, not one offenses to us, the devotees, but one may be breaking the principles mentally or thinking, you know, about illicit sex. Now I'm engaged in the service, so it's okay, the thoughts came, and then another one, gambling, I'm engaged in the gambling. On the internet, I'm looking at something, you know, engaged in all kinds of nonsensical activities.
Porno pages.
Yeah, porno pages or something like that. But I'm talking of not only Vaishnava, but other...
I'm getting diverted into sense gratification.
Yes. I'm thinking that I am now engaged in the...
I'm a devotee, so a little indulgence in sense gratification is all right.
Yeah, because even when I commit some abominable action.
Because after all, if you engage in abominable action,
but I'm still fixed in the devotional service, so would that be all right?
No. If you do it intentionally, it's not, it doesn't work. Well, I'm a devotee, so you know I can indulge once a week. I can indulge in a little sense gratification. Krishna understands; he's merciful. That doesn't work. We covered that point earlier. She had asked a nice question in this regard. That you know.
I wasn't here.
Yeah. Yeah. No. If one. Krishna is unlimitedly merciful. But that's a fact. But we cut ourselves off from his mercy if we try to cheat on his mercy. Prabhupada personally wrote me that letter. He said, Krishna can excuse you once or twice. But more than that, you're risking that everything will be lost. Because you try to take unfair advantage of Krishna's mercy, you're just cutting yourself off from your lifeline. Don't try to cheat the Krishna. Krishna is the supreme cheater. You try to cheat Krishna, he will cheat you. He will show you as a big, more expert cheater. Don't try to cheat Krishna. He says that in the Gita, of gambling, of gamblers, I am, what is it?
Cheat.
I am cheats. And Krishna is the supreme cheater. Everyone thinks they're cheating God. Ha, 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 ha. But he gets all of them in the end. He who laughs last, laughs best. Shinga Bhagavan Ki Jai. Yeah, if we try to cheat God, we only cheat ourselves.
He's not going to cheat, and we are cheating ourselves.
Yeah. So, anything else? Yes.
As you just said, that if you think about something which is not proper, after some time it makes you react, right?
After some time you'll start feeling like doing it. And then you'll make the decision to do it, and then you'll do it.
But if you think of something which you really don't want to happen, if you think of something really horrible, you don't want that to happen, will it be possible that what you think, because the mind is so crazy, just reminds you of it constantly, also if you don't want to think about it, can that be that happens?
So, let's say some wicked thought comes to your mind and you tell yourself, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this, then that's good. You're putting a stop to it. It's not that by thinking against something that, you know, by, you know, having the thought in your mind but in a negative way. Now, the idea is you wouldn't start thinking in a negative way unless the positive desire or thought came. You're putting the negative thought to counteract the, let's say, you know, someone is thinking, illicit sex. Then the mind, then if you're intelligent, you'll say, okay, mind, stop it. Stop it. Illicit sex is the gateway to hell. It just leads to misery and suffering, unnecessary torture and torment. And the karma is very heavy, inconceivably heavy karma, karmic punishment for illicit sex life. Of having to go to a hell where you embrace the molten, red-hot iron form of the opposite sex, and you can't let go. You have to just burn, holding on to that hot metal. You're burned to death, but you don't die because you're in your subtle form. It's hellish. So, if one, the thought comes, and you just feed yourself negative, no, don't have illicit sex, don't do it, it's bad, then that's protecting you. You have to see through the eyes of the scripture. You can bring up, you know, we can remind one can remind oneself of Ajamiya, what happened to him by contemplating sex. How he fell down and became so degraded, became the servant of a prostitute. He was murdering people even, just to serve his prostitute consort. So one should... Krishna consciousness has two sides. Vidyam cha vidyam yastad vedobayam saha. You can think about the beautiful, all-attractive Supreme Personality of Godhead, and you can also think about how dangerous is his illusory energy is. Both thoughts are transcendental thoughts. You have to see both sides of it. If you want to have the full blessings, Ishapanishad says, if you want the full blessings of immortality, then you have to see both the beauty of Krishna and the danger of his illusory energy. Both things are required. You say, I don't want to think about the danger of illicit sex. I just want to meditate on Krishna and Radha. No, you should see both things. Otherwise, you'll try to be Radha and find your Krishna. You see? Of course, married life was sanctioned, encouraged in our Vedic culture, but I'm talking about illicit relationship. But we should not try to... The point is, we have to see the danger of the material energy. We have to... That sort of meditation is very good. To meditate on how dangerous is the material nature. It's very good meditation. There's a good example that Jamunacharya Albandra of South India, Yadavadi Mamacheta Krishna Padaravinde Nava Nava Dasa Damanu Jacharantu Masit Tadavadi Vatanadi Sangame Smaryamani Bhavati Mukushushtu Nishtivanamcha. You know the translation? He said that ever since I've been engaged in the service of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna, deriving ever increasing rasa, Nava Nava Rasa, you see, getting sweeter and sweeter gulab jamun juice, you see, out of that loving affairs of Radha and Krishna and serving them. Serving their loving affairs and meditating on them. Ever since I've been getting this sweeter and sweeter nectar, if the thought of sex pleasure comes to my brain, I simply, my lips curl with this taste and I spit at the thought. You see? So he's taking a very negative attitude. If that thought of sex pleasure comes, he just spits on it with disgust. So that's very good. To be able to, you know, have a very negative attitude about sense gratification. It's very good. Become very strong. Brahmachari. Brahmacharini, you see. Strong. Tapasa brahmacharina. Be very staunch about any thought of illicit life. Become very staunch.
So, can I ask a question? So, in the case of some thought came, like she was asking that thought about saying having a illicit relationship, but we tried to take it out. So, material energy can present to us as a test of how would you say that that something comes and would you take that as a Krishna's arrangement?
No.
So, how do you see that?
If an illicit desire comes, I should understand that I'm still being tormented due to my previous sinful activities.
No, but my question was that take out my thought. I give up that thought.
Yeah.
But suppose, like, for a man, a beautiful woman comes. It takes out the thought, but the beautiful woman comes, and his mind becomes agitated again.
Yes, remember, Hari Das Thakur.
So would that be like, we can say this is a test, or...
Yes,
or this is Krishna,
yes, yes.
So I can have it.
No, he shouldn't think, well, Krishna knows that I'm really lusty, so he sent a beautiful, lusty woman here to satisfy me. No. He should think, Krishna is testing me to see if I'm really serious about being his devotee. So now this beautiful woman has come. Let me give her a book and tell her to read, you know, give a donation and take this book. Become Krishna conscious. Actually, Prabhupada told us in New York City, he said, collect all the beautiful women and give them to Krishna.
No, this is just an example.
He said, Krishna will dance rasa dance with them. So that's, if a beautiful woman comes, we have to think, she is for Krishna. She is not for my enjoyment. She is for Krishna's enjoyment.
So
that's the proper response.
So anything material would be
yeah.
like that.
Some money comes, some wealth comes. Oh, I can bloop. Some wealthy man just gave me a $1 million donation for ISKCON. Ooh. I think I'll bloop for a while. Not tell anyone what happened, and I'll bloop for a while. No. Whatever comes, it's all for Krishna. If a beautiful woman comes, then let me make her a devotee. If money comes, let me use that for Krishna. Whatever comes, that should all be used for Krishna. Everything for Krishna's enjoyment. Nothing for my enjoyment. That is the mood. That is the detached, renounced mood that we have to cultivate. Everything is for Krishna. Nothing is for me except Krishna.
What if I go gambling and make some money and bring it for Krishna?
Tell me.
What if I go for gambling and if I win, I'll bring money for Krishna?
So there was one gambler, he was thinking like that. A South Indian gambler. There's a famous temple in South India, Tirupati, yeah. Lord Venkateshwara, a very famous temple. Everyone goes to have their material desires fulfilled. They even shave their hair. It's a big thing. They have a shaving parlor. It's an amazing place. You should go see. Prabhupada appreciated how well they manage that temple. I mean, it's cleaner than Disney World. It's so well managed. But anyway, this man, he went there and he was gambling on the horses. And the prize for the first place was something like 40,000 rupees was the prize for the winning horse. So he said, "My dear Lord, I'm gambling, and if you give me the winning horse, then I will split the money with you, 50-50. So he bet on the horse, and his horse came in second. And second prize was half, it was 20,000 rupees. So he went back to the temple and said, "My dear Lord, you didn't trust me. You already took your half." So he didn't give anything. He said, "I've taken my. You took your half. I got mine. The 20,000." So we shouldn't try to gamble like that. We should simply engage everything in Krishna's service. That's all. Everything for Krishna. That is not a gamble. That's a safe bet. You give your. If you like to gamble, then give your whole life to Krishna and see what the result is. Is it? Yeah.
I think I would like to come back on this question. I think I missed out when I was outside. About the thought, it's not. I don't think this question was for thoughts of illicit sex. It's not these thoughts. It's the thoughts much to do with your well-wisher. For example, your person you love most, in the and you have thoughts of losing that person in the case in like a fear.
What is she saying?
She says that thoughts that she asked the question earlier. It's not regarding the thoughts about illicit acts or in some kind of offensive act, but it is the thoughts for the loved ones.
Well, and the fear is arising there.
For losing
them. How do you overcome this to the mind, or what to help you in this regard?
Well, there's a natural sentiment that one has for one's family members, one's friends. That is not wrong. But at the same time, one should not become overly enamored by that relationship, because after all, isn't every living entity your family member? Why are you thinking this is my loved one and this one is not my loved one? You're on the bodily platform. You understand? Every living entity in this whole universe is your loved one, an intimate family member, because Krishna is our father and these are all our brothers and sisters. Why are you thinking, oh, what will happen to my loved one? What about all the other loved ones? Why are you not feeling your love for them? You're on the bodily platform. To feel affection for your loved one, that's very nice, but you have to feel it for everyone. Why just them only? Because they're related with your body. You understand? So for all of our loved ones, the living entities, for a Vaishnava, every single jiva is one of his loved ones. That's Vaishnava platform. A Vaishnava thinks, well, this is my loved one and this one, well, they're okay, but this is my loved one. That's the A Vaishnava platform. Vaishnava platform means every single living entity is one of my loved ones. That's Vaishnava platform. So that I don't want my loved ones to be in difficulty, that is the proper mood for a Vaishnava. He wants all of his loved ones to go back to home, back to Godhead. He wants all of his loved ones to be happy. He dedicates his whole life to serving all of his loved ones, including the ones that happen to be in the same family, but not excluding the other ones. He has equal feelings towards all. He may have some special affection for the family. That's all right. It's a natural biological thing. It's an emotional thing. But you have to intelligently not be carried away by that bodily tendency, that psychological tendency. That's what it means to be a Brahmin. A Brahmin means he's liberal-minded. He doesn't think simply on an emotional platform. Brahman sees through the eyes of Scripture, understands through the eyes of the Scripture, feels through the injunctions of the Scriptures. That's why Prabhupada can feel great compassion in his heart just to see the commuters on the morning commute in Melbourne and start crying to see them on their morning commute. That how much they are suffering in this material existence. So we have to learn. Prabhupada is seeing everyone as his loved one. You see? So, loved ones, that's all right. Make them devotees, but don't think they're your only loved one. Everyone is your loved one if you're on the Vaishnava platform. You love everyone as Krishna's parts and parcels. And you want to see that everyone achieves the supreme happiness of going back home, back to Godhead. That is Vaishnava. Questions more? Yeah.
So it means if we like somebody more than somebody else, it's always just material because he gives us more pleasure. It's the only.
He's saying, so if we correct me, okay? Yeah. If we are attached to someone more than the other person, and so that would that be a material attachment?
On one level, yes. On another level, no.
Can I ask you? The attachment to the devotees, would that be material? Because we may develop the attachment for certain devotees.
The fact is that certain, according to different natures, some devotees will be more willing or able to reciprocate with us, our loving exchange with them. So it's the natural tendency that those devotees who can best reciprocate love with you, as described by Rupa Goswami, you will naturally gravitate towards those devotees who can best have loving exchange with you, and there's nothing wrong with that. At the same time, you don't have any, it's not that you have any lack of love for those others that are not so easy to reciprocate with. You love them also. And you're always looking for opportunities to have loving exchange with them too. There may be some devotees who are very sattvic and very easy to have loving exchange with, some who are passionate and you have to catch their attention, some who are in the mode of ignorance who just don't want anything to do with anybody. And they're hard to have any relationship with. Even within devotees, you have devotees in different modes. You have devotees who are in the same mode that you're in. It's easy to click with them, but if you're not in a very high mode, it may not be very good association also. You know, some devotees, you like to talk for japa, other devotees also like to talk for japa. So you really need to find devotees who are on the highest possible platform and develop loving relationships with them. Because that will elevate your consciousness. And for those who are not as advanced as you, try to elevate them by your kindness. So it's natural to gravitate towards those devotees who are more open to loving exchange, who are more advanced in Krishna consciousness, etc. But we should have our hearts open to developing loving relationships with all the devotees, serving all the Vaishnavas. We should not exclude anyone. Does that answer your question?
Does that answer your question?
Yeah. Any more questions?
The last question answered. Are you okay, Amit?
I was just asking for somebody else this question, but maybe I didn't say it. It just big, and it just no vain. Ke mind it is disturbed kare person ne. Ke abe jo ami karu to am khase it just big. General ma. This is question I'm asking for some person who was, but I don't know how to put it this, because it was asked me in Gujarati, but it's like doubts and fear to get out of the mind of a person. With every small things.
It's very simple. Just take shelter of Krishna. What is the difficulty? Krishna destroys all doubt and all fear. Doubt and fear, they can easily be driven away if you simply increase your Krishna consciousness. What is the difficulty? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna.
Doubt and fear is due to the attachments, material attachments.
So become attached to Krishna.
Yeah.
Attachment must be there. If you're attached to something in this material world, you must be fearful. Why? Because sooner or later, this material nature will rip you away from your attachment. Guaranteed. So, instead of being fearful by being attached to anything in this material world, simply attach yourself to Krishna. That's all. Yes. Simply attach yourself to Krishna.
How should I say to this person that, you can chant and you can still service this, but this person preach to the mind to stop this fear and doubts coming.
This person preach to the mind on his own.
To preach, how should this person preach to the mind constantly to get this out from the head? This is for a person.
Tell him to learn this nice song by poet Govinda Das. Bajahure mana shri nanda nandana abhaya charana vindure durlabha manava janama sat sange Tarahae Baba Sindhude. Tell him to learn that song. And just whenever his mind starts harassing him, just have him sing that song. That song. Very simple thing. See, we try to make it some complicated thing to become Krishna conscious. It's not complicated. It's the most easy, simple thing you could ever try to do.
That person must be trying to fight with his mind, but unless you give something positive to the mind is not going to...
See, if we're trying to follow a Mayavad program of becoming God, then it's difficult. People who try to become sense controlled by becoming God, it's impossible. They can never do it. But just become the humble dog of God, and you can easily conquer all of these problems.
Also, sometimes they try a nati-nati process that doesn't work.
It's again Mayava.
Yeah.
Yeah, same thing.
You cannot tell mind, not this, not this, not this, not this, but you have to...
I mean, you should... Some of the things I get in email is amazing. You know, someone said, you know, I don't have any time for japa. How can I ever chant 16 rounds? You know, I just get up and I have to go to work and I have no time. They told me that. And I said, send me your schedule. It turned out they watched television for 2 or 3 hours every evening. He said he had no time to chant 16 rounds. Because, you know, it's social life with the family members. You know, they have to do it. I have to sit around and watch TV every night. So if you really get into it, if people, they want something cheap. They want Krishna consciousness without having to do the austerities of practicing Krishna consciousness. That's the problem. So many people write me, they say, Gurudev, just bless me, I can become a pure devotee. And I say, okay. 16 rounds, the four principles. Become active in ISKCON, you know. Find an ISKCON community. You can become do active service for this is Prabhupada's movement. You know, then that's the blessing. They say, no, I don't want to do all that. Just bless me, I can become a pure devotee. Such cheating mentality in the Kali Yuga. Everybody wants its cheap thing, you know. Just make me a pure devotee, you know. Just touch me on the head. And then, so I can see Krishna eye to eye, you know. Just give me a blessing, you know.
Give me a hug.
Give me a hug. Yeah, like the hugging mama guru. The big fat hugging mama. Just get a hug, you know. No, if you want Krishna consciousness, you have to work for it. You have to pick up your beads, you have to chant Hare Krishna mantra, you have to rise early, you have to take bath, you have to attend the arti, you have to worship Tulsi, you have to hear the Bhagavatam, and if you're at home, you have to have a similar program at home if you're not here at the temple. The temple is a place to show you what you should be doing at home. If you're not living in the temple, then get you a similar program in your home to what we're doing here at the temple. At least you should have an arti, you should worship Tulsi, you should read the Bhagavatam and chant 16 rounds at home also, if you're not in the temple. So everyone should develop a program of sadhana bhakti either in the ashram or at home. Everyone has to do sadhana every day in the early morning. This process works if you work the process. If you don't work the process won't work for you. The science of bhakti is the most scientific, efficacious science in the world. The other sciences are imperfect: chemistry, physics, astronomy. This science is perfect. It's coming directly from God. Science of bhakti is the perfect science. If you apply this science, you will get the results. That's a fact. Any other question? Yes.
To get Krishna consciousness is the biggest fortune for the living entity.
It's good fortune?
The biggest.
The biggest.
The greatest fortune?
Yeah.
Yes.
To get Krishna consciousness.
Yes.
But then, is there a situation that we can be put back completely out of some offenses and mistakes?
Can you lose Krishna consciousness or offenses?
To get Krishna consciousness is the greatest fortune.
Yes.
Then is there a possibility of going back Puna Musita Bhava?
Yes, of course. Of course. If you give up Krishna consciousness, you become just like the GBC for the West Coast. He left the movement, became a truck driver many years ago. When Prabhupada was here, he became a truck driver. From the GBC to a truck driver, you see. Yeah, you can lose everything. If you're not careful, it's a razor's edge. It's like when you're shaving your face, the straight edge razor, one little slip. And cut yourself. Even a safety razor, you can cut yourself. Speak of a straight edge razor. Krishna consciousness is like a straight edge razor. One slip and you can cut yourself. So you have to be very, very careful. And every minute, there's danger of falling down. One has to have a healthy fear of Maya. And Maya can get me at any minute. I have to be very, very careful. Always protecting. Always begging for Krishna's protection.
What about that statement that every step...
Padam padam yadvavatam natesham. There's danger at every step, Bhagavatam said.
No, with every advancement we make...
What is it?
What is
that? That every advancement... Every small advancement we do in Krishna consciousness.
Every advancement?
Yeah.
Okay.
Krishna takes 10 steps towards you, that one?
Yeah. Well, every step you make advancement in Krishna, I think Krishna comes forward 10 steps?
No. That protects one from the biggest danger.
Oh, okay. He's saying about that verse in the Bhagavad Gita that... every action you perform in the Krishna consciousness, you have made advancement, and that's
protects you from greatest fear.
Yeah, greatest fear. It is in that person. Is
even a slight advancement protects one from the greatest fear. That's right. Yeah. That's right. So whatever advancement you've made, don't lose it. Hang on to it. It's a valuable treasure.
But even this GBC truck driver, he also made some service, but still he lost.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So the question is, if someone advances in Krishna consciousness and then they give it up, then even that slight advancement can protect them from the dangerous, most dangerous type of fear. But it can also be, but it's also a fact that you may take birth as a deer. Look what happened to Bharat Maharaj. He was very advanced. So don't think, well, I made some advancement, now I can just coast. I can coast free, I don't have to worry about anything, just let it all hang out. Just go with the flow. I made some advancement, now I'm protected. No. It can save you. But it may not.
So it can be that something can put you completely back.
You know the story of that Punar Musika Bhava, so
you
can understand.
You know the story of Punar Musika Bhava? Yeah. Everyone knows that story? You know that story? Yeah, there was one mouse in the village. He was being very much harassed by the cat. Every time he came out of his mouse hole to try to get some cheese, the cat would run and try to pounce on him. So he had to go running back into his hole. He was going hungry. So one day the cat was taking a nap. And he made a big run for the hut of the yogi. There was a yogi in town. So he ran to the yogi's hut. Said, "Yogi, yogi, I'm always being bothered by this cat. Please do something. What can be done?" He said, well, I could make you a cat. Would you like that? He said, yes. Then the cat won't bother me. So, he become a cat. So now he's a cat. He's feeling the feelings of a pretty cool cat. You see? But then the dog comes. He's going back, and this dog starts harassing him. Chases him up a tree. So he gets back to the yogi's hut. He says, my dear yogi, the dog is now harassing. What to do? He said, well, I can make you a dog. Would you like that? Yes, yes. Now you become a dog. So now he's a dog. Is he? No problem now. Cat won't bother me. The dog won't bother me. Now I've got it made. He goes out again, walking down the street, and then a Bengal tiger comes into the village. Oh, tiger. Everybody was running. So he ran back to the yogi's hut. Yogi, yogi, the tiger, tiger. Well, would you like me to make you a tiger? Yes. Tiger. So you know, when the tiger goes for his meals, there is one problem. You know that problem?
He was hungry.
His meals run away as fast as they can. In fact, there's a little bird in the jungle that goes, Sayu, Sayu. It's a bird. Whenever the bird sees the tiger is on the prowl, he starts doing his little Sayu, Sayu. And all the animals know the tiger is looking for his lunch, and everybody goes running for it to get away. So, for tiger, even though he is so powerful animal, he has great difficulty for his meal, you see. But now he's sitting in this hut with a nice-looking yogi. And the tiger just happens to be by the door, the only door to the hut. And there's no way for the yogi to get out unless he comes by the tiger. So, the tiger is looking at the yogi like, the yogi picked up on it and he said, oh, you want to eat me? The tiger said, yes. So the yogi, before the tiger could jump, he said, Punar Musika Bhava. Again, you become a mouse. And he was shrunk down a little tiny mouse again. So you may become a big, big devotee, Brahman-initiated devotee with some big position, responsible service, big prestige throughout the movement. You see? But if you fall prey to the clutches of Maya Devi, Punar Musika Bhava, again you become a mouse. It's like one time you had a GBC here in Germany. You see, he became a mouse. Practically speaking. Yes.
Just came to one question from Ramayana. In different yugas, there is certain reaction one gets from thinking. Like in I just came to the story of Ramayana and Bharat. Was coming for good. He was coming to Lord Ramachandra for asking forgiveness. But at that moment, Lakshman was thinking differently.
What is it?
This Bharat, like a reaction for different from the past yugas. And what is for Kali Yuga? Is there any reaction like this?
So I do not know what reaction Lakshman got it, but she is relating to the story of pastimes in Ramayana.
Uh-huh.
That when Ram and Lakshman were going to the forest,
mm-hmm.
in exile to the forest,
uh-huh.
That time Bharat was coming with a big entourage to bring them back. Lakshman was thinking that Ram, he is coming to attack now. So I do not know what reaction Lakshman got it, but which is saying so. What
these are transcendental pastimes.
Yes.
These are Vishnu tattva.
In Kali Yuga, how is with the?
Do we have any reaction?
This is by thinking, and then Lord Ramachandra was.
These are Vishnu tattva.
Yes.
Bharat, Lakshman, Ram. There's no question of reactions. These are all transcendental lilas.
Yes, this is correct. I think I did put the question right. In Treta Yugas and in Kali Yuga, now is Kali Yuga, in which effects one gets of reaction by thinking something.
She's asking.
No, there's no thinking itself doesn't bring a reaction of having done the thing. But it can lead one can get the reaction of thinking about it a little bit more seriously and thinking about it even more seriously and then starting to feel like it a little bit and then feeling like it a little bit more and feeling like it a little bit more and then willing to do it a little bit and then willing to do it even more and then just like having an unbearable urge that I have to do it, see, and then doing it. So thinking can lead to feeling, willing, and acting. Therefore, if you think about something, you should nip it in the bud. In the very beginning, say, don't think that.
I can explain to them.
Yeah.
Yes,
but I just generally wanted to know about the reaction in different in Satyug time.
I can't give you a yuga breakdown on the reactions. However, I can tell you this. I can tell you this, that in the Kali Yuga, even though you don't get the reaction for having done the thing, if you don't stop your thoughts, it's guaranteed you will eventually do it. Sooner or later. If you keep thinking about something sinful, thinking, well, I don't get a reaction, so it's okay, I'll just meditate on it. You know, just imagine that I'm doing it and enjoy it in that way. Eventually you will do it. Well, contemplating the objects of the senses. Sangatsan, what is that verse? Bhagavad Gita chapter 2. If you, while contemplating the objects of the senses, the person develops attachment for them, from that attachment lust develops, from lust anger arises, from anger delusion, from delusion bewilderment of memory, when memory is bewildered, intelligence is lost, and when intelligence is lost, one falls down again into the material pool. So don't contemplate anything, Alyssa, if you know what's good for you.
The ultimate thing will be, the mind can be your friend and can be your enemy.
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't take out the thoughts, then the mind will be the enemy in the end. And then you will get the reaction.
Whip the mind. Beat it with your shears 100 times in the morning, with a broomstick 100 times at night. You rascal. You have misguided me for millions of lifetimes. In this lifetime, I'm the boss. I don't listen to you anymore, you rascal mind. I'm the boss now. And I say, chant Hare Krishna. Become a pure devotee. Prabhupada said that Goswami means, see, the senses will, the genitals will say, give me sex, you see. The tongue will say, give me some nonsense food. The senses will scream for these things. But Goswami means, one says, no. You see, if the mind thinks something bad, the Goswami says, no, stop it. He immediately says, no. He doesn't want to try to indulge, oh, let me, this is nice. I remember when I used to enjoy this. Let me think about this for a while. No. No. Staunch. Heavy. No. Just tell the mind no. You can't, you're not allowed to think like that. I'm not going to let you. It's a dangerous one-way street that leads you off the end of a cliff. Stop it right now. Stop it. You just put the nip on it in the very beginning. That's what a devotee does. If his mind starts thinking something bad, he just says, stop it. Stop it right now.
But you think, nursing a prayer, you have not nursing a nip here.
Huh?
attend nursing a prayer, if any thought comes that you are afraid of, fearful, and doubts.
So anyway, it's 9 o'clock and I don't want anybody to miss the morning program tomorrow. Have a nice morning program. Of course, it's actually our body clock. It's only 8, but you know, so it doesn't feel that late. But, or is it the other
I
way around?
We want to sleep also.
Yeah, it's actually only 8 o'clock from what we're used to, but yeah, we have to go ahead and understand it is now 9 o'clock and do the needful, take prasadam, I get whatever, and take rest. So we can be up bright and early for Mangal Arti. All right then. Thank you all very, very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Raja Vidya Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai. Sambhut Vaishnavas ki jai.